Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace be to you from God, our Creator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who comforts us and sends us out. Amen. When I was young, my family went on a vacation in northern Minnesota one summer, and we took a tour of the Sudan mine. If you've ever been near the town of Tower, that's where the mine is near. And you get in an elevator and go down a mile underground. And I still remember, even as a young kid, taking that tour, going so far down underground. And when we were down, I think we sat in carts that they used to use to transport themselves through the underground mine. But the guide that was leading us turned off his light. And we were in complete and total darkness, a mile underground, no sound whatsoever. And I remember it still today being so overwhelming and oppressive to be in so much darkness. And the guide said to us, if I left my light on a little bit longer, all of you would begin to lose your balance because it is so disorienting to be in such a dark place. And I remember when he turned his light on, what a relief it was to finally see again. It was frightening, something that always, a memory that I will always remember. And when I think about the darkness that the Israelites are experiencing in our scripture for today from the book of Isaiah, it is this oppressive darkness that they have known for years. A darkness of physicality, of spirituality. They are an oppressed people who have known slavery and exile and suffering of all kinds. And the words from Isaiah today are words of joyous celebration. Those who have walked in darkness have finally seen a great light. On them, light has shined. It is a time for celebration, for joy. And the people are transformed. The transformation in this text is complete because the tools of violence that the people have been suffering from are now going to be used, as Isaiah tells us, as fuel for the fire. The tools will become burned, and they will feed something that creates warmth and light and gives life. So when in your life have you known this darkness of the physical, of the spiritual, of the emotional? Isaiah's word, which is traditionally an Advent text, the season right before Christmas, and we're getting very close to that. So I kind of like that. It's a little bit early. It gets us started on this promise of waiting for the Christ child. But when have you known this darkness? We all have. We can all think of times of knowing this struggle. And the word of hope and the play between darkness and light is the beauty of this text from Isaiah. But as I read this text, I also think about, what about those of us who are sitting in the dark today and who don't see any type of light or any way to get out of it? Can God transform even this time for us? Those of us who don't want to wait for the light because it seems so far off, because it's difficult, and the light at the end of the tunnel seems like way too far away, and we don't want to wait that long or walk that far. Barbara Brown Taylor is a wonderful theological writer and pastor, and she wrote a book recently called Learning to Walk in the Dark. And the book is all about how the darkness can teach us and can transform us. It's a study of the blessings of the dark. And in her book, she talks about how not to be afraid of the dark, but to lean into it and to see what it can show us and to teach us and to learn about it. When I was in seminary, I did immersion. It was called a rural immersion, and I went out to southwest Minnesota to a town called Windham, and there's a retreat center there called Shalom Hill Farm, and it's in the middle of farm fields. There's nothing around it, and I grew up in a small town relatively, but I lived in a neighborhood that had streetlights. And so at the time I was living in St. Paul at seminary, and I went out to Shalom Hill Farm for this retreat, this experience, and one night after dark, some of the people in my retreat group decided to go for a walk, and they asked if I wanted to come along. And I said, sure, I'd love to go for a walk, but don't we all need flashlights? And they all laughed at me because they were rural people and had grown up in rural areas. And they said, you don't need a flashlight because the moon is out tonight and it'll be plenty. And I didn't believe them. And so I brought my flashlight along because I thought we were for sure going to get lost. And they were right. The light from the moon that evening was more than enough light that we needed to take our walk in the dark. I didn't have enough imagination to consider that the moon would be enough light for us and that it would light our way, even in the dark. God does some of God's best work at night, when we are the most receptive and open to what God has to say. Think about those middle of the night moments when you hear the voice of God in a way that you never do when you're busy during the day. There's a reason why God speaks to people in the Bible often in their dreams, and that these are transformative times in their lives. And God often starts in the dark in the Bible. Think of Abraham when he was so frustrated, waiting for a child, didn't think it was ever going to happen, and God takes him outside and shows him the stars at night and says, look at all these stars in the sky. Your descendants will be more than the number of these stars. God used the dark to show Abraham the promise. Jacob wrestles with God at night and emerges in the morning humbled and transformed, and his life has changed, and he's able to approach his brother and experience forgiveness in that relationship. The Christmas story happens at night. The shepherds are led. It begins at night. The shepherds are led by a star, and the only way they can see that star showing the way to the Christ child is because it is dark. God works in the dark. Whether you are waiting for the light, know the light, have the hope of the light, know that even if you are sitting in the dark, this is where God often does the best work and speaks to you in a wonderful way and starts. Something good can happen and come out of these dark periods of life. I'm not a big fan of the desert. Last weekend, my family and I were in Palm Springs in California, Southern California, for my brother-in-law's wedding. And it is desert. We were south of Palm Springs where there's just nothing. If those of you who know I like water. So desert is not, I have a very hard time seeing the beauty of the desert. And I did not find it beautiful during the day when we would drive out to the wedding site. It was so flat and so brown. I didn't see any life in it at all. But after the wedding was done and it was dark, we left the reception site and we walked out to our car. And my kids said, Mom, look at the stars in the desert. And it was the only way that I could see the desert as beautiful is at night, seeing the amount of stars that you can witness because the desert allows you to see it, because the sky is so big and there's nothing in the way. That was how I could see the beauty. The darkness is what gave me that insight. As faithful people, we are a people of hope, even when we're sitting in darkness. That is a mark of faith of who we are, that even in the darkest times, we can still claim hope. Even when we don't feel hopeful, we know that God gives us hope and that God is hope. And our hope goes beyond that someday. We know someday the world will be redeemed and transformed by God. We know someday the light will come, but that's not enough for those of us who are faithful. We don't say someday, we say now. Even in the dark, God is here. The light is not at the end of the tunnel. It may be, but it's also here. The dark is what God can use to transform us, to show us that the light is here. God is with us even in the dark, transforming us. Even in the hardest times, we can claim this hope because God is present and working. It's real to us, even if it doesn't always feel that way. And as we wait, as December comes and the promise of the Christ child comes again into our lives, we are reminded of this hope that we can always have. Thanks be to God. Amen.